You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. The final hour has arrived. And I'll never forget last year on Good Friday. We had Archbishop Marino on from Rome. It was, we had just gotten back on TV. It was really an awakening type of a program because There was a lot of fear out there. And to think back 53 weeks now, and you know, many people are still hurting. I mean, we've heard tonight on the program already the conflict in the country remains alive and well. So we thought for just a minute or two we would kick away from the issues at hand and welcome in our friend Ken Smithmeyer, who was a former hospital executive and now is in the helping business, and maybe tonight the healing business. He works with professional and college teams all over the country trying to improve their aptitude and judgment alertness. Ken, thank you. Great to have you back on the program. Happy Easter weekend and good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be back. You know, that's a lot of pressure when you preface my intro with talking about an archbishop, okay? So I'll do the best I can do.
Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking about that, Ken, and a year ago, you know, none of us knew what the next day was going to bring. And we had a call from California yesterday, and it was a man who was hurting very badly. And we had a reaction to it that told all of us that a lot of people are still having a tough time, and you know that very well.
Yeah, and let me talk about that a little bit, Paul, and first remind people, I'm not a clinical person. You know, I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, social worker, any of those things. I'm a businessman by training and experience. But the work that I do now brings me in touch with people across the country, literally coast to coast. I talk with people from prestigious medical schools, from big name football programs, executives of big and small companies. And I hear a lot of things from them. And I happened to hear that call from Mike in California last night. And, you know, one thing I would tell him, and I would tell anybody else that has some of those feelings that he has in him, there's nothing unusual about it at all. And the work that I've done since I retired in the last 5 years or so, what has surprised me the most is how much people have in their heads that they deal with every day. And it really doesn't matter age, race, gender, income, title, station in life. And so maybe a guy like Mike could start off at least with the premise that he's not alone in feeling the way that he feels.
And I don't want to turn you into a clinician, so I'll let you use your own experiences to help us better understand this. But you've been in contact even during COVID with athletes and coaches and executives across the country. Take us into their world, because especially, you know, whether it's athletics or business, this has been one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging, episodes of all of our lives.
Yeah, you know, Paul, the COVID thing has been for everyone, I think, what I describe as the fog of war. We know there's an enemy out there. In this case, we can't even see it. It has a name and it poses a threat to us, but we don't know what it looks like. And we don't know if it's right next to us or a mile away. And we feel powerless in our ability to deal with it. I was with a football program in the Northeast about a month ago. And that was the most inside that I've been with a program since the whole COVID thing started off. And what those teams have gone through in the last year to actually have a season like we had in the fall is stunning. People on the outside don't have any idea of everything the players and the coaches and the staff have had to deal with. One coach said that he felt like his workload was doubled at the least. Many players have those feelings that Mike described last night of being isolated. If you talk, you know, I have a client that was in Indianapolis for the basketball tournament and went through a couple of rounds, so they were there quite a while, pretty much isolated in their hotel rooms. And so I don't care how strong you are physically or mentally, that wears on you. And I've seen it with every one of my clients, again, regardless of their business. They not only are trying to do what they are paid to do as an employee of a company or an institution, but they're trying to do it in preposterous circumstances. And even those who succeed, so-called succeed at it, it takes a toll on them, and that's what we see.
Ken, so much in business and in sports is about being ready for the next event, planning ahead, and being prepared. And over the next couple of months, I know many are already ahead in doing it, but you know, there is going to be this integration between what we have been doing for the last year to what we used to be doing, although I don't think it's going to be the same. Help us prepare for that.
Well, I think it's going to vary, Paul. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think it was the Texas Rangers announced that they were going to open their stadium up fully for their opening game because that was the state's policy and that's what they decided to do. And they took some political heat for it. But then when they had their game, I think 15,000 people showed up, and that was people making their own decisions. And I think what's happening now, although there's a certain amount of fear out there and it varies by person, I think increasingly people are coming to the conclusion that they have to live their lives. The kids have to go back to school. The salesperson has to go see his or her clients. Stadiums have to open up and put people in the seats. And in all those cases, every family, every individual, every business is going to make their own decisions. And that's the way that it ought to be, and that's the way that it has to be. I think the biggest challenge for people is managing the fear that has been either put into us externally over the last year or that we have put into ourselves internally over the last year. You know, I'm a big fan of the Stoics. And for people who don't know about the Stoics, it's a set of Greek philosophers from about 2,000 years ago. And one of the key tenets of Stoicism is you can never control what the world throws at you, but you can always control how you respond. And what we got thrown at us last year was such a curveball out of the blue that it made a reasonable response difficult for even the best of us. I think increasingly now people are saying, okay, maybe I can regain and should regain a little bit of power over my world, over my life, and how I do things. And so I think we still don't control the virus, although maybe if you're vaccinated, you know, you're going to be partially in control. But you certainly can, we can do a better job at controlling how we respond. So I don't know, Paul. I see here in Nashville, first of all, my wife and I, over the last 2-3 weeks since we've had our vaccinations, we've gone to more restaurants. I see news about airline traffic picking up substantially. I notice in Nashville that the morning traffic when I'm out in it or the evening traffic when I'm out in it is still not back to the Nashville traffic of, let's say, 15 months ago, but it's back materially. So my sense is people are making those decisions. They're getting a handle on how they want to approach this going forward.
And finally, in terms of the interaction, because you're familiar with this program, it doesn't take much to get varying views, but in every office, there's going to be varying views. You're going to see somebody walk in without a mask. You're going to see people with a mask. It's going to seep into political discourse, whether you want it to or not. That's no way to run a business, is it?
No, but Paul, more importantly than that, I'd say it's no way to let external events run your life. You know, I've heard a little bit of your show today and this uproar over the major league decision in Atlanta, you know, and you and I don't need to debate that any more than it already has. But I'm not going to let a decision like that ruin my Easter weekend. Georgia voted the way Georgia wanted to vote. I don't live there. Major League Baseball is going to vote the way they want to vote and move the game. That's okay. If I don't like what Major League Baseball is doing, then I shouldn't watch the game. And if I live in the city where they move it to, I shouldn't buy a ticket. And if I really feel strongly about it, I shouldn't buy a ticket for any Major League Baseball game. So there are rational responses that we can have. In the last year, what we've indulged in is a lot of irrational responses. It's caused division in offices, in families, between friends. And if that's going on in your life, my personal opinion is that's your fault. And if you don't step in and be a bigger person than that, show a little more character than that, and even if the person across from you is being irrational in your mind, that's no excuse for you to jump into the fray like they are. In fact, I'd say it puts a bigger burden on us now than ever to be the better half of that equation when the time calls for it, because the easiest thing to do is jump on Facebook or Twitter or on a call to Paul Feinbaum and shoot our mouths off. And that not only doesn't contribute, it worsens things. So I think if somebody feels like they're in the middle of one of those situations, I'd say the first thing for you to do is step back and go look in the mirror and see whether or not you are doing everything you could do and should do to deal with it on your end before you launch any criticism about the person on the other side.
And final question on that, piggybacking that, when, and we've heard it today, and we all do it at some point. You know, when I say, well, I'm not doing that, I'm going to show them, or I'm not going to a baseball game anymore, or I'm not going to watch this, or you can continue that to any conversation that any of us have ever experienced. What is that? I think we both know what that says, but more important, how does someone deal with that so they don't think like that the next time?
Well, you have to separate what the event is from how you can identify you are reacting to the event, and try to put the brakes on. You know, first of all, so many people will react to a headline they read in a newspaper. They don't even read the story. I'd be willing to bet you the vast majority of the people who are currently debating the Georgia voting law or whatever it's called haven't read it and or haven't even read a valid summary of its substance. I know I haven't. So I don't claim any expertise in that issue whatsoever. And so first of all, if you're starting to get wound up about something, you need to step back a little bit and say, what exactly am I getting wound up about? Do I even know what I'm talking about? Is this worth getting wound up about? Is this going to interfere in my life in a way that gives it a weight that it doesn't deserve? You know, you got some questions to ask yourself. I think it's so amazing to watch, particularly over the last year, how people have suddenly found it okay, and maybe in some cases they think it's attractive or desirable, to just let their emotions fly, and rational thought seems to have disappeared. And people really need to start getting the reins on themselves first if we're going to do a better job at having a discussion on this topic or any other.
Great conversation. As always, when you come back next, we'll get back to the field and get your opinions of some of the new coaches in the SEC, how they're behaving, how they're acting.
Boy, we both love that, wouldn't we, Paul? Get back to the field. Yeah, yes, sir. I'm with you on that one.
Very soon we'll do that. Ken, thank you. Happy Easter, and appreciate you coming
on.
We will take a break. Wonderful to see you. Back with more. Your phone calls. Final 45 minutes at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. Let's get some more phone calls going here. And Mark is up next in Huntsville. Hey, Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon and happy Good Friday.
Thank you so much.
Paul, I think one of the most important females we lost in America was on December 13th of 94. and her first name's Gloria. And I bring this female up because when I, and my mother knew this woman very well, because the spirit of this lady signified peace, very kind-hearted. And when I heard the caller, it's taken me a while to get in. I mean, I think I tried 100 times, but I'm so glad I got in because as we look at Good Friday and we look at the fact that the caller who called in and was almost very Pharisee-like, you know, it was the world's going to come to an end and everybody's going to die. And then I just happened to talk to my mom and she listened in and it just hit me. I wanted to encourage you that, you know, we're all in this together. And Gloria, as you know, is your mother. And she raised a fine son. And I know your dad was a doctor. But at the end of the day, it was your mother who was the real hero. And on this Good Friday, I just wanted to salute her and what she meant. Because without her contribution and her positive living and following Christ to where she is tonight, I just wanted to give honor to Gloria Feldman Feinbaum, and God bless you.
Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough, and I can't tell you how shocked I am to hear you say that your mother knew my mother. Thank you for sharing that with us. You be well, and I'll talk about my I've not talked about my mom a lot, to say the least. She did shape my life and is with me every day of that life because of taking over for when my dad died when I was young, and I think that speaks for a lot of you out there, and we do tend to think about our families maybe a little more than on a holiday like this, especially Good Friday and Easter. So Mark, thank you for sharing that. That's when you mentioned that, I was absolutely blown away. Ricky is up next. Hello, Ricky. Thank you. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Well, I really enjoyed that last caller, the guy that you had the interview with, and
Smithmeyer.
He brought in a lot of things that I kind of wanted to talk about myself, and because I mean, even though I'm disappointed with Major League Baseball, but I look at it as, you know, politics, you know, par for the course. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they always done, and it's just history. You know, it's you can go back 100 years. I mean, this happened even in Jesus Christ's day. Because always, you know, there's always going to be controversy. There's going to be protests. It's good, you know, to remember history. It's not good to live in it.
No, Ricky, and one thing about this, and you're right. I mean, we've been talking about the intersection of politics and sports for my lifetime and yours. Tommy Smith and John Carlos have been referenced tonight. Don't forget the President of the United States in 1980 or 79 canceled the Olympic, the United States' Olympic team to go to Russia because of something that that he disagreed with. What's this really about today? We know what this is about. This is about an organization not wanting to take any pressure, any more pressure on this subject. And they made a political decision. And unfortunately, it makes Atlanta look bad. And the people of Atlanta, have been exemplary on this issue.
Right. Yeah. But I understand. Because me, I don't get involved in politics or social issues because this is something that's always been, is gonna always will until the end of time. And you know, we as people, if we could all, and I try to do this every day of my life, and this is something that will stick with me, because I try to live my life, try to live like Christ, and this is something that he had an attitude, and it says, do nothing out of contentiousness or out of egotism, but with humility. Consider others superior to you as you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And this is something that if this could be, and this, by the way, that was Philippians, I think it's 2:3-4. Mm-hmm. So if we all could try to put that in our hearts sometime, because it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to be humble, but we all had the capability to be, it's just like, because we have so much forces behind us and, the attitudes and power hungry and money hungry, and this is the world today. And we're living in the last days, and people don't realize that this is critical times we're dealing with now. And so it's just one of those things that I try to do every day, and it's hard sometimes, but we can't live in the past, we only can go forward. Well, one question I want to ask you about Mississippi State, though, is
absolutely.
Ben Hallen I think he may be on the cusp of doing something good with his basketball team. But do you think next year? I'm not saying he's going to be on the hot seat, but do you think that there's going to be some expectations from the fan base? Because he's been there, 6 years now, 7 years, be next year, 7 years, I think. And, I don't know if I guess they're not Duke basketball.
Yeah, Ricky, let me answer it this way. The NIT run this year is nice, but did that really move you very much? It's about getting to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And he needs to get there on a regular basis. That's what he's expected to do. Why was he hired? Because he'd taken UCLA to 3 straight Final Fours, and he has. What is his? Has he been? He's been to the NCAA once. Am I wrong, right or wrong about that?
I think they got put out the first round. Yeah. Was it Liberty?
Yeah, I think you're right. That's how you judge. I mean, we just got. Look at the programs that get forgotten about immediately when they're not in the NCAA tournament. I watched some of their game the other day in the NIT, and it was, that is something a coach will use to try to keep his job, but that's not going to change your mind or anyone else's mind. He's got to get. You have to get to the tournament, Ricky. That is what it's all about.
Right.
Hey, listen, you have a. We have to go to the break here, but you have a blessed holiday. Always great to talk to you. We are coming back with another 30 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Sean is up next in California. Hello, Sean.
Yo, Paul, how you doing, man?
I am doing great. What about you?
I'm doing good, Paul. I'm doing good. I'm just sitting here listening, and you seem kind of inundated by the events of the day and all the callers, man. I really kind of applaud you for taking on that responsibility of listening to everybody kind of vent their frustrations. I don't know. Just empathizing with you right now.
Thank you,
Paul. Thank you for taking my call. But I'm excited about the Final Four. You know what I mean? I'm excited about the Final Four. I'm excited about UCLA. I haven't seen much about the South Carolina and Stanford, the girls' game, but I noticed, you know, I see you were trying to get into that as well. But I just kind of wanted to see what you thought about the Final Four, and then I just, you know, talk to you about some other things that.
Yeah, the Stanford game is just underway in San Antonio. I'm pretty fired up. I mean, I have felt like a lot of people, Sean, Zaga was the team that was just really too good to lose. I still feel that way, although watching Baylor the other night was pretty impressive. I don't think Houston and UCLA have much chance tomorrow.
Yeah, I think pretty much the whole year it's kind of been coming down to Baylor and Gonzaga. Paul, I'm just turned 52, and I played basketball all my life. I'm a football fan by trade, right? My family's from Birmingham, Alabama, so Roll Tide. But I played basketball all my life. But Gonzaga, and I've seen them play, and I followed their games, you know, obviously living out here on the West Coast. But that's as good a team that I have seen. And I think back to 1990 to the UNLV team.
Yeah.
They're that good. I mean, they are really, really proficient. I mean, 90 points a game, you know that. They are a really good basketball team. But I think we've kind of all been waiting for Baylor and Gonzaga to match up. And for Baylor, I think Baylor has the guards to be able to give Gonzaga some problems. But if Baylor's big guys get in foul trouble early, that might go bad for them throughout the course of that game, but that's going to be a good matchup.
I agree with you. I happened to see that UNLV team during the season, and to sit there courtside and watch that team was, of course, they managed to blow the championship game in one of the bigger upsets ever. But
to a great Duke team.
Yeah,
a great Duke team.
You're right.
And those were great Duke teams as well.
You're right. But
Paul, man, my family's from Alabama. You know, I've been an Alabama fan since 1979. I mean, it's just been an incredible year. I think I've reached the mountaintop with Alabama football, man. I mean, I just don't know what to say anymore. But I'm excited about next year. What do you think they're going to be at going to next year?
I feel good, but Sean, I think anyone who boldly predicts them to win outside of being a fan is maybe biting off a little bit too much. I really would like to see the quarterback situation develop a little bit, and we may know that. I think what Cecil told us, that either there's a scrimmage today or tomorrow. I can't remember which one it is. And, you know, that's always the key. I think they're replacing way too many people offensively to look anything like what they did last year with the new coordinator. But I still think they'll be in the running. And when I say in the running, I mean in the running for a Final Four spot. But I think they'll lose a game somewhere. I do.
Yeah, I haven't seen the schedule for next year. Obviously, you know, Devontae, and you got to replace Devontae. Jalen Waddle, I think that maybe might be an underrated person that they're going to miss. I haven't heard, him on the team next year allows them to that continuity, I guess, a little bit, but losing him and his big play ability is going to really be.
No, I don't know if many people in football history have ever replaced as many, but how long have you been on the West Coast, Sean?
All my life.
Okay.
All my life. My mom, my grandmother, my great-grandfather, they all grew up in Titusville, Birmingham, Alabama. They
sure.
They lived a block and a half away from UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham. But I've been in California all my life, but my heart is in Alabama. Paul, interesting story. The first time I heard about Alabama all my life, my grandmother, everybody, they're all from Alabama. I heard about that. That's all I ever heard growing up, right? So the first time I go to Alabama, I think it's 2009, it's me and my wife, and we stay at the Wintry Hotel. We just happen to just, there's a hotel, there's a mall. We stay at the Wintry Hotel. We get there, it's the week of SEC.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you were going there.
Like, how great does this get? I mean, come on.
That, I've stayed at that hotel a few times during SEC media days, and it's a circus for somebody who's part of it. I cannot imagine what it was like for just an innocent bystander. Well, thank you, Sean. You be well. You take care of yourself, and let's talk again soon. Squirrel is in Mississippi on a Friday afternoon. Hello, Squirrel.
Hey, and happy Good Friday to you. And this has been kind of one of your more unusual Good Friday shows, you know, from years past. But it's been interesting. And you know, we've had a lot of the older callers complain about how the show has changed over the years. But at least we have a show where people can call in and give their varied viewpoints. And you had a caller earlier in the show that chastised you for not correcting another caller or fact-checking another caller. And I applaud you for not being that host, you know, that feels like it's your job to do that.
Well, thank you, Squirrel. I mean, there are some times when we're more on topic that I'll jump in. And I learned last year. I think I did it too much early on during COVID, and I regretted it. And
you did.
You reminded me of that, which is good.
But we're still friends, man.
I realized unless something is absolute, then stay out of it.
Right. Well, you know, everybody has a right to be heard, and we can judge whether somebody's being bizarre or not, and we can judge what the truth is. And on this, and I'm not going to get into the weeds on this subject today, but I would just encourage people to read the law and see what the law is before they make a lot of comments. And do you realize, Paul, that a lot of states are doing voting reform? It's not just Georgia. If you've been keeping up with the news, and I'm sure you have, you know, other states, many states are initiating the same type of legislation. And what are they going to do? Not have Super Bowls in this state and not have World Series in this state? I mean, like I said, it's going to get crazier probably before it gets
no. And Squirrel, but I can tell you, I bite my tongue on this a lot because it is out of control, but it doesn't matter. It's only going to get worse, I can assure you.
You're right. Hey, and I found us a country. I've been doing some checking. Costa Rica. I don't know. Have you ever been there?
No, I hear it's great.
I hear it's great, too. I haven't been there, and I wanted to do a little scouting trip. But you know, you're talking about a place to get away from the madness. I'm seriously thinking about maybe moving.
Yeah,
down
you know,
there
Squirrel, I'll tell you, I shouldn't say this publicly. I've been looking for another country to live in too. So if you can, and
I'll check it out and send the word.
Yeah,
have a good week.
Thank you. Yeah, hello. And it was. My plans are finalizing right now. We'll take a break. We still have a few minutes to go, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.